Now, direct from CBS News, this special Radio Net Alert news report.
This is Robert Pierpoint at the White House, where President Nixon's press secretary, Ronald Ziegler, is now making an announcement.
We'll meet various members of the bipartisan leadership of Congress here at the White House early this evening. Tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, the President of the United States will address the nation on radio and television from his Oval Office.
This is Robert Pierpoint again. The voice you just heard was that of Ronald Ziegler, the president's press secretary, saying that Mr. Nixon will late this afternoon, meet with various members of Congress, and then at 9 p.m. tonight will make an address to the nation. It seems fairly obvious that that address will concern his impending resignation. Mr. Ziegler did not say in so many words that the president would resign. That will be up to the president himself, first to tell the members of Congress this afternoon and then to tell the nation tonight. But that seems clearly what is going to happen. The president has been meeting with Vice President Ford this morning. They met for 1 hour and 10 minutes. That meeting is now over. And as far as we know now, the next information will be forthcoming from the president to the members of Congress and then to the nation tonight. This is Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, at the White House.
This Net Alert report has come to you from CBS News. We now resume the regular program schedule on this CBS Radio Net Alert station.
CBS News. President Nixon has made it official.
I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
Richard M. Nixon announcing tonight he would become the first American president to relinquish his office. I'm Jim Kilpatrick reporting on the CBS Radio Network. In a calm and unemotional farewell brought about by the Watergate affair, Mr. Nixon pleaded with Americans to unite behind Vice President Gerald Ford. More on the announcement from CBS News correspondent Dan Rather in Washington.
Richard Nixon resigned the presidency, saying he did so to heal the wounds of Watergate. His voice was strong, his tone conciliatory. He did not announce any pardons. He did not specifically admit guilt. He did apologize for what has happened.
I regret deeply any injuries that may have been done in the course of the events that led to this decision. I would say only that if some of my judgments were wrong, and some were wrong, they were made in what I believed at the time to be the best interest of the nation.
The president's resignation is effective tomorrow. Vice President Gerald Ford will be sworn in as president at noon, Washington time, in the White House.
Washington Week, news and analysis. I'm Neil Strauser, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network.
I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
I, Gerald R. Ford, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
And will...
In the space of 15 hours this week, Richard Nixon became the first president to announce his resignation from office. Gerald Ford, the first appointed vice president to succeed to that office. And almost as rapidly had the Congress and the public cast their verdict and decreed the sentence of change, following the introduction Monday of a final last piece of evidence against President Nixon. Mr. Nixon himself had submitted it, 3 tapes, which he'd held back even from his attorneys for some days, which showed him discussing the political benefits of limiting the FBI's Watergate investigation. Faced at last with the smoking gun, so-called, many of Mr. Nixon's staunchest defenders capitulated. Republican Charles Wiggins of the House Judiciary Committee fought back tears as he called on the president to leave office voluntarily.
Failing such action with great reluctance and deep personal sorrow, I am prepared to conclude that the magnificent public career of Richard Nixon must be terminated involuntarily. And I shall support those portions of Article 1 of the Bill of Impeachment adopted by the Judiciary Committee, which are sustained by the evidence.
Late Wednesday, the GOP leaders of the House and Senate, John Rhodes and Hugh Scott, and the respected conservative, Senator Barry Goldwater, went to the White House to try as gently as possible to tell Mr. Nixon what Goldwater later put more bluntly, that he faced an almost unanimous impeachment vote in the House and certain Senate conviction and removal.
In the Senate, after Monday night's disclosure, it was felt by those of us in that body that he might be able to collect 15 votes against impeachment.
When Mr. Nixon faced the nation Thursday night, he put his decision in terms of his loss of support in the Congress.
I have never been a quitter. To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first. America needs a full-time president and a full-time Congress, particularly at this time with problems we face at home and abroad.
But he left office with what critics in both parties felt was a less than complete acknowledgement of the wrongs of Watergate.
I regret deeply any injuries that may have been done in the course of the events that led to this decision. I would say only that if some of my judgments were wrong, and some were wrong, they were made in what I believed at the time to be the best interest of the nation.
Friday, less than 3 hours after Richard Nixon's own emotional farewell to his cabinet and staff, Gerald Ford, in the same East Room, took the oath of office as the 38th president and seemed to acknowledge much more fully the impact of Watergate.
I assume the presidency under extraordinary circumstances never before experienced by Americans. This is an hour of history that troubles our minds and hurts our hearts.
Mr. Ford spoke of a national nightmare, of wounds more painful and poisonous than those of any foreign war. But he also asked for prayers for Richard Nixon and his family.
May our former president, who brought peace to millions, find it for himself.
And now, said the new president, we must go forward together. A look at the new administration by CBS News White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint.
As with every president, Gerald Ford is bringing his own style to the White House, and the differences are already apparent. Informality, honesty, simplicity, humility. These are some of the qualities of President Ford. They were well exemplified in his brief speech after the swearing-in ceremony Thursday in the East Room, which included these words.
In all my public and private acts as your president, I expect to follow my instincts of openness and candor with full confidence that honesty is always the best policy in the end. My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over. Our Constitution works. Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here, the people rule.
Gerald Ford clearly looks on himself as a man of the people. Moving quickly Friday to smooth the transition, he met first with the representatives of the people with whom he must work to make his administration succeed, the leaders of Congress. There followed brief conferences with 57 foreign ambassadors to assure them of the continuity of American foreign policy. Ford also requested and received the agreement of both Richard Nixon's cabinet and most of his White House staff to stay on into the Ford administration, temporarily at least. But President Ford also took time to stroll into the press room and introduce to reporters his new press secretary, Jerry Terhorst, and to wonder aloud, somewhat wistfully, if he could ever get reporters to give up the briefing room so he could use the swimming pool underneath the floor. Early Saturday morning, back at his Alexandria home, Ford emerged twice in his pajamas to look for the morning paper. And on his way out to the White House a short time later, when asked how it felt to be president, he answered, "It's great, so far." Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
The Congress, in the meantime, discarded thoughts either of seeking immunity for or further investigating Richard Nixon. That was to be left to the courts. The view from Capitol Hill this transition week, reported by Bruce Morton.
They found the smoking gun on Monday. By Tuesday, the gun had turned into a bombshell. It was clear that all 38 members of the House Judiciary Committee would vote for impeachment, a staggering demonstration of the impact the bomb blast had had. By Wednesday, Republicans in the Senate and the House had used everything but skywriting to send messages to the White House. The president was dead in the House, dead in the Senate, and should resign. On Thursday, the president did. The rusty machine of impeachment had not clanked through all its constitutional motions, but had proved that it still worked, or was ready to work. On Friday, an old congressional friend took the presidential oath of office, met with congressional leaders immediately afterward. Promises of cooperation flowed back and forth. President Ford promised handshaking visits soon to House and Senate chambers. "We all called him Mr. President," said House Republican leader John Rhodes, "but I still thought of him as Jerry." Congressmen predicted the new president would have a honeymoon with Congress, would be more disposed to consult and work with the Congress, and some also saw a more permanent effect, a shift away from the imperial and imperious presidency back toward something closer to equality between Congress and president. After such heady thoughts, no wonder the House leaders planned 2 weeks off later this month. Neil?
After the euphoria, no one doubted some tough political battles ahead. Gerald Ford plays the political game as hard as any man. But like others in this capital who bear proudly the title politician, he knows that there must be losers as well as winners, and the game must go on. There was a fear that in the absence of a clear congressional or court verdict, hardcore supporters might not accept the loss of Richard Nixon. Speaking to that point, Barry Goldwater.
I hope those who feel bitter about the president's leaving will slowly come around to a realization that it was the only option open to him. I know America. Know it probably as well as any man in the country. And I have great and undying faith in our people. And I know the people and the country will triumph.
Goldwater, Nelson Rockefeller, and others were mentioned in speculation about Mr. Ford's vice presidential choice. But that was for another week. There had been enough history for this Washington Week, which was produced by Ellen Wadley. I'm Neil Strausser, CBS News.